May it please the court, counsel. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Joanna Christensen, and I represent the appellant, Trevor Ryan, in this matter. The issue before the court today is whether the district court committed clear error in including marijuana and firearms found at a residence in Southern California in relevant conduct to the offense of conviction, which involved marijuana found in a Northern California residence and then marijuana that was flown to Madison, Wisconsin. In other words, there are three categories of evidence, and the one that we're challenging are the firearms and marijuana found in Granada Hills, California, which is in the city of Los Angeles. The district court made inadequate findings.
I don't understand why this isn't related. I mean, this is a person with an active, diversified drug criminal career. Isn't everything related?
I don't think that we can make it that broad, Your Honor.
Why not?
Every criminal act that someone's ever committed.
No, it's the same. He's in the drug business. He has different. It's a diversified drug business in the sense that he doesn't operate just out of one place. But if you're a big gangster and you have subsidiaries and so on all over the country, it'll all be relevant conduct, right?
I think that would be if there was evidence that you were a big gangster. But in this case, the evidence was, you know, he had this grow.
He has an airplane and so on.
He didn't have the airplane until October, and the original search took place in January.
Oh,
so,
what?
Yes, he's obviously involved in both of these, but whether they're related is a separate question.
I don't understand you. They're both the same kind of drug criminal activity.
And this court has held.
Career, right? He's operating from different places. What?
This court has held in other cases where it's the same drug and actually same location, same defendant, that those episodes are not necessarily related unless there's evidence relating the two episodes. I'm thinking of Bullock in particular, where they were both heroin sales, but they were in two different housing projects, 2 miles apart and separated by several, I think, 2 years.
Well, of course, that makes a difference, yeah.
Well, in 9 months and 2 years, this court has found that as little as 2 months has been too much time in between.
Well, I don't understand that.
Well, that may be, it's very factually specific, and in this case, the facts aren't there to support this continuing criminal behavior between the Los Angeles property and the Ukiah, Northern California property. It was different. In Los Angeles, the evidence shows that he was selling to a dispensary.
Why would the law ignore this other conduct? What's the purpose? They can be prosecuted multiple times instead of once, or what?
Well, and that's a possibility.
What's the gain from that?
Well, the gain is the government doesn't get to bootstrap everything.
What is wrong with bootstrapping?
It's less for them to have to prove in an indictment and more at sentencing where the evidence standard is lower.
There isn't any question about the evidence.
There is a question about the evidence, I believe, Your Honor. I don't think it's as strong as the government's case puts out, and the district court didn't point to any evidence when making the finding.
Well, did Ryan contest the facts in the pre-sentence report that laid out that earlier drug situation? He didn't contest that in the pre-sentence report, did he?
He didn't contest the facts. He contested
the facts. That's what I mean. He didn't contest the facts.
Right. We're contesting the law applied to those
facts. I understand that, but I'm just saying the underlying facts. There was no, when you're saying there was some question about things, there was no challenge to the factual basis of the district court's conclusion.
There were some challenges to the nature of the firearms. I should not say it was a total admission. He maintained that they were for sporting purposes.
Right, not for the guns. I was really speaking of the drugs. Right.
I wanted to make that clear.
Okay.
Your Honor. And he doesn't necessarily dispute the facts of either incident. The issue is whether they're related.
But your best argument against related was different standards of proof. If there's no factual issue, it doesn't matter that there's a lesser standard for relevant conduct than for an independent prosecution.
Well, I think that even under the sentencing preponderance of the evidence, there's not the evidence of completed repeated acts in between January and October. The government talks about in their brief grow seasons between Los Angeles and San Francisco. That wasn't part of the record in this case, and that may be true, but we don't know if that was the case here, if that he was moving for grow seasons or if he had started with someone else a different drug operation. And when they're separate...
What does it make? Once you admit it's in a drug operation, what is the point of having multiple trials?
Well, and certainly he pled guilty, so there wouldn't necessarily been multiple trials.
What's the point then? But what are you trying to gain?
We're trying to gain the separation between
criminal
conduct. Why?
But he's not going to get out. He's not going to get off because you admit he's guilty.
Of course he's guilty. We're arguing about his sentence, Your Honor. And we're not saying he's going to get out.
Why would he get a lighter sentence?
If the two enhancements didn't apply, both the marijuana and the gun enhancement, he would qualify for a lower guideline range and could possibly get a lower sentence.
There's no justice involved in what you're arguing. There's hyper-technicality.
There's justice for the defendant, certainly.
No, there is not, because we know exactly what happened.
I see I'm in my rebuttal time, and I will reserve the rest. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Christensen. Mr. O'Shea?
Good morning. Tim O'Shea for the United States. I think the fundamental difference between what the defendant argued at the district court level and now is now the defendant wants to say this is a transactional sum. But it's more than transactional. The defendant controlled its supply chain. He was not just a man engaging in transactions. He was a farmer. He grew his own marijuana at two different locations, and he processed it and he transported it. So he was involved with the whole chain, and clearly his conduct began at least in January 2008. He was already logging hours towards his pilot's license. He was shopping for airplanes. You know, he first made his first down payment on the airplane in March, paid steadily on it all year, and then he took possession of that airplane in September. And clearly, you know, given I do know it's some growing information in there. I was surprised to learn that for the Madison Public Library had a number of books on growing marijuana. When I went to research this point, I guess I should not have been surprised to learn that they were all either stolen or checked out and never returned. So marijuana takes a while to grow, and the defendant was growing it. He had a summer grow operation and a winter grow operation, and this was a continuous conduct. And the district court was correct to find that. The defendant below, he himself lumped his California conduct together. He said that, you know, it's legal in California, only illegal when I got here. He slowly woke up to the Supremacy Clause, and he's changed his argument on appeal. So that's all. Unless there are questions, that's all for the United States. Thank you,
Mr. O'Shea. Ms. Christensen, do you have anything further?
Nothing further.
Thank you. And were you appointed?
I was.
Okay, well, we thank you for your vigorous efforts on behalf of your client. And we thank Mr. O'Shea, of course, as well.